More music. The legends of rock and roll.
Welcome back, Rod Rock Kids. Dickie Lady Iceman here, baby. And as I always say, this is our favorite time of the show. It's a time when we're able to talk with some of these great legends of rock and roll music out of the 1960s. We have another real treat for you today. This musician is a great singer and a songwriter and has just released a new album, and we want to hear him talk about it. He was a member of a group out of Modesto in 1967. They were called Weather Vane. So, Stefan, welcome to the show, and please tell us all about this new album that you've just released.
This new record, Thrust, is very keyboard-oriented, as a matter of fact. This was originally recorded between the 1980 and 1983, before anything digital came out, really. So a lot of the songs were originally recorded at a studio in Hollywood called Crystal Sound, which was where Stevie Wonder recorded Songs in the Key of Life, and a lot of other famous artists recorded there. And as it happened, the original guitar player from the Weather Vane, which we were just mentioned, for Modesto, and he also appeared on our Play Me single 4454, which you featured in the past on your show. He was one of the house engineers at Crystal Sound at that time, and he was the one that arranged for the recordings and did the initial engineering of the rhythm tracks. At the time, I had a really good band put together, and we were well rehearsed. It featured Rick Bozzo on bass. Rick was the bass player for Meatloaf for a long time.
Okay.
And Mark Glassman on drums. And I also had, I was doing lead vocals, but I also wanted to share vocals because some of the songs I thought could benefit from a different character of voice. So I got Steve Shirelli from a band that I had been in before called Ska Cha Cha on lead vocals.
Uh-huh.
And all the musicians and the singers just did a fantastic job on these songs. They just nailed everything. Steve's vocals just fit the songs perfectly on the ones that he sang. And so everything was off to a great start. But as it turned out, we unexpectedly lost access to the Crystal Sound studio. And I was kind of stuck with a lot of unfinished material, which was a real shame because, as I just mentioned, the musicians had put a lot into this and just done a fantastic job. So we had some terrific rhythm tracks.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty determined, you know, not to just throw this away.
I understand that.
So they had given me a quarter track mix of the song. I was not allowed to have the original 2-inch tape with the original individual tracks. So I was really restricted with what I could do, especially since the mix on this quarter inch tape was never intended to be a final mix or anything close to that. It was originally intended to just be a reference for me so I could plan my overdubs.
Uh-huh.
But I just, they sounded good, and I decided to use them. And at the time we overdubbed, I overdubbed all the keyboards, the vocals, and everything that went with it. And some of the songs sounded pretty good, and other ones didn't sound so great because I couldn't really correct the mix well enough. So as a result, all these songs wound up on the shelf, unreleased. And for years, I always thought this was good material, and I wished that I could fix it somehow. And here we are in the modern day, and some of the new software can perform actual magic on this stuff that just wasn't possible years ago. One of the software I use is a spectral imaging software. Normally, you know, in today's digital world, you would, the audio editors, you see a two-dimensional image of a waveform.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen that all over the place. This goes further, shows you what's inside the waveform.
Oh, wow.
Presenting it as an image with different activity at different frequencies in time. And that allows you to kind of visualize what's going on with the music. You can, like, in the lower frequencies, you can see the bass and the bass drum activity. You can see individual notes that are being played by other instruments and stuff. And you can select stuff just like you would with a photo editing program, like Photoshop.
Uh-huh.
And then you can take these selections and you can process them independently. You can cut them out and put them onto a new track, for example.
Oh, wow.
So, like, for example, couple of the songs that I was mentioning where I had the quarter track mixes, we had some really nice drum sounds and a grand piano that was a Steinway B at Crystal Sound. But the piano was being buried because the drums were just way too loud in the mix I had. And I've had to live with that for like 40 years. But using the spectral imaging program, I was able to select the drum hits and remix them to the proper volume. Doing stuff like that just made these songs just totally come alive, because instead of focusing on the bad mix, you could focus on, you know, the great playing from the musicians and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Then there were other songs that I included on the album where I had just recorded the whole thing in my own home studio, which was an apartment in Hollywood. And at that time, you know, we're talking about 1981 or 82 or something like that. All I had to work with was a couple of four-track tape recorders and not a whole lot else.
I can see that.
Yeah, so the drum sounds were not as good on that as they were on the studio recording. So I was able to also use technology to impose the sound of studio recorded drums onto the home recording, and without changing the playing whatsoever. You know, I want to emphasize that I didn't do any editing of anybody's playing or anything like that at all. And also I want to emphasize that the idea was not to make songs sound like modern productions, you know.
Correct.
They're firmly rooted in the early 80s. You know, some of the songs have kind of social commentary lyrics that are applicable to that time period. You know, as well as the instrumentation. I was using instruments that were, you know, state of the art at the time, like the Mini Moog synthesizer and the Prophet 5 synthesizer had just come out, and I just started using that. And then also, you know, instruments like the Hammond B3 organ is prominent, and the Hohner clavinet. And these instruments are now very widely revered in the music industry nowadays. They are considered classics. They're very sought after by keyboard and synthesizer aficionados. And if you look for them on eBay, they're selling for prices that are way beyond their original prices.
Oh, yeah. So, I can imagine.
So I think this will appeal to certain people, musicians, because of the instrumentation used, and because, you know, it was all recorded on tape. There's no computers or anything digital involved with the original recording. So that's some of the things I did to improve the sound of these recordings and make them sound, just to make them sound like they were well recorded and well mixed. And it came out fantastic. I was really happy to put together a compilation of these songs after all these years and release them to the public.
Well, Stefan, I want to thank you for sending me some of those pre-advanced tracks. I know I've listened to them, and I just can't say enough about it. It's very cool that you could hear this analog sound in a digital age. You guys did a great job on it, and we're going to hear one of those tracks in just a few seconds.
More music, the legends of rock and roll.
Oh, you garage rock heads, in the words of the Iceman, you better get ready to get down with your bad self, baby. Right now, we're going to lay the title track off of that Thrust album. Here he is, Stefan Pressley and Tear Me Up.
On what?